down here, and I don't see it. Yeah, right here. There's some mustard seeds, and I see that every once in a while. Look at all the faith in that bottle. I wasn't going to use that tonight, but I see that, and there's just one little kernel of faith there, and it's almost so small, amen, that it'd be really, really easy to lose. In fact, I can't even hardly pour one. There's one out. Faith is a grain of mustard seed. We can say to that mountain, be moved and cast into the sea. I mean, that's a big job for just a little bit of faith. But the Bible also tells us we're all given a measure of faith. And how are we going to use that faith and how are we going to exercise that faith? Well, I hope tonight that these five keys will help us to begin to understand faith and to begin not only to understand it, but to apply it to our life. The first key to faith, and I did this, this is something that I just kind of carry around. It just says faith, and it's got five keys on here. Now, if these keys, unlock the doors of all kind of opportunities, we'd probably be able to sell these for a great price, don't you think? But these are not the keys that I'm talking about. The keys that I'm talking about are scriptural. The keys that I'm talking about are things that I believe that we can apply to our life and understand through the scriptures, and especially in chapter number 11 of Hebrews, as it was called, the faith chapter. The very first key, it says, faith leads to understanding, but not vice versa. I want to read that again. I'm going to kind of slow down tonight. I know that you're accustomed to seeing me running all over the place and preaching tonight, but that's not what God laid on my heart tonight. God wanted me to talk about faith, and maybe this is not for anybody except for me, but I truly, truly was able to glean from this, and I want to apply it to my life. But faith leads to understanding, not vice versa. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 3 now, says, through faith we understand. Listen to that. Through faith we understand. If we don't have that faith in there, it's going to be hard to understand the ways of God. It's going to be hard to understand the words of God. It's going to be hard to understand how that we can speak to a mountain and that mountain be moved. It's going to be very difficult to understand how that we can anoint with oil, pray the prayer of faith, and people can be delivered. Can I just see a show of hands tonight who's ever witnessed God's healing power? Amen. Did we always understand it? No, but we believed it. Amen. We believed it because we were able to witness it. We were able to see it with our sight. But understand, when we begin to use faith and we begin to speak faith, the understanding comes later on. Again, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear, or the things that were visible. In other words, God took a vast thing of voidness and created the heavens and created the universe. I believe He spoke it into existence. Do I understand that? No, not entirely, but I do believe, amen, through faith. And so many times we try to get that backwards or vice versa. We want to understand how God is going to heal. We want to understand how God is going to open the door. We want to understand how God is going to move in our situation to help us through these things. But again, that's not the real faith. I've often talked about after-the-fact faith. You know, you've heard me mention that before. It's not hard to have faith after the miracle's been done. Amen? We can testify and testify about the great faith that we have. But before that miracle is done, before we see the evidence, before these things begin to come to pass, if we can have that faith to believe that all things are possible, that's a key, amen, to growing our faith. We all have that faith, as I've mentioned, but this is five keys that'll help that faith begin to grow. In fact, I believe the more you exercise it, the more, amen, that faith will begin to grow in your life. So faith leads to understanding, not vice versa. Through faith, we understand. Through faith, we understand. How many of us have seen God come on the scene and move in a situation, and then we might make a statement, oh, that was so easy. But it wasn't easy before God intervened, wasn't it? Amen. Sometimes we'll lose sleep. Sometimes we'll rack our brains. Sometimes we can't understand. We'll ask advice and counseling from everybody that we know, trying to get an answer how that God's going to move. But then when God moves, it's very easy to say, Lord, that was so simple. I wished I'd have released it to you before. So let's don't get it backwards. Let's don't try to understand before we have faith. In other words, we need to believe what we ask God for. Believe it as though we were going to receive it. The second key is faith. And understand, faith is not passive, but rather seeks its object diligently. Again, I want to read that. Faith is not passive, but rather seeks its object diligently. Whatever that faith is, faith to believe that God's going to send rain. Faith to believe that God's going to help us build a boat or an ark. Faith to believe that God is going to do exactly what He said He would do. Faith to believe. So when that faith is given and the Word of God has given us that ability to believe that, then we're not passive about it, but we seek it diligently. I want to remind you of Hebrews 11 and 6, verse 11 and 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So to exercise faith, we don't need to be passive about it. We need to go out and receive what God has said that He would do for us and take hold of that and seek it diligently. I'm reminded of the blind man who was sitting by the wayside, and he cried out to Jesus, not once, not twice, but he continued to cry out to Jesus, "Thou Son of David, have mercy upon me." He had faith to believe that Jesus could heal him, but he was diligently seeking the power of God. Now, many of them said, "You need to be quiet. Don't disturb him. You're making too much noise." But he cried the much more louder. So if we had that type of persistency, if we had that type of aggressiveness, if you would, or seeking diligently the faith of God, I believe we would see more doors open. I believe we would see more healing. I believe we would see more miracles in the church. Amen. If we're not so passive about it, but believe. You know why sometimes we're passive about it? Because the devil puts a little seed of doubt in our mind. What if it doesn't happen? And then we're afraid we'll look bad. I know a lot of times people have missed out on a great opportunity because they would not stand and testify that God has answered their prayer because they had not witnessed it yet. They had not seen it yet, so they were passive about their faith. But those who diligently seek after that faith, even don't need evidence, don't need somebody to tap them on the shoulder and say it's done. But those who are in the midst of adversity say, "I thank God that He has delivered me." Those that the pain is still in their chest, "I thank God that He has healed me." That person with a crooked arm, "Thank God that He has healed that arm and made it straight," even when there wasn't any evidence. Amen. We need to diligently seek after the Word of God that God has promised us. If God has promised us, how many believes it'll come true? Amen. So the second key is the key that faith is not passive. Faith is not to sit back and just be quiet about, but faith is to exercise and seek diligently after. The third key, faith acts upon the Word of God. Faith acts upon the Word of God. Understand, in Hebrews 11 and 7, by faith, Noah. What if that's the only thing that was in that word? By faith, Noah. But look what happened when Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, did not sit still and wait on the rains came, but he moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now I know that God doesn't need our help, amen, when he answers a prayer. But many, many times, the faith that God has placed in our life, when we claim something, when we pray for something, what's wrong with putting that faith into action? Amen? An action to go ahead and claim it. Go ahead and testify, as I said, about it. Tell folks about it. Tell folks what God has already done. And people will look at you kind of strange because they haven't seen the effects of it. But when you have to see effects of it, then where's our faith? So the key to it, amen, is acting on the Word of God. Now, don't act on the Word of God unless it is the Word of God. Many, many people have gone on what they thought. But listen for the Word of God. And when God tells you something, obey God. Amen. You never know what lies at the end of the road. You never know what's going to happen. Let me tell you, many, many years ago, my granddaddy, when he was preaching and pastoring in Rockmart, Georgia, and also working at Goodyear Plant, he was working the night shift, and he came home one morning, and there was a sister that was on his heart. God, how many have ever had the Lord lay somebody on your heart? And first thing is we say a quick prayer for them. God, wherever they are, whatever they're doing, Lord, if they're in trouble, if they're in need, Lord, bless them and touch them. And many, many times that's just the extent. Let's be honest. Sometimes that's the extent of our prayer for someone that God has placed on our mind. But how many of us have had God just continually place that person on your mind, and that little prayer just didn't seem to do it? Well, this was the case with my granddaddy. He came home. He said, told his wife, he said, I really believe that we need to go visit Sister So-and-so. God has laid her on my heart. I don't know what's going on. I hadn't heard anything from her, but I just feel that in my heart. I feel that in my spirit that we need to go and see her and see and maybe pray with her. Well, my grandmother couldn't go. So there's the first opportunity not to go. My granddaddy says, oh, well, you know, then if she can't go, then I'm not going to go up there by myself. But you know what? If it's truly to be ordained, if it's truly from the Word of God, how many knows that God won't let you alone? God kept speaking to him. He said, you need to go. You need to go. You need to go and pray for this sister. So he gets in the car. The last account he had was she lived in Cartersville. My granddaddy lived in Rockmart. So he drives up the road to Cartersville. He gets there and he says, Lord, I don't even know where she lives. Don't have any idea. Cartersville's a big place. I don't know which street she lives on, or which side of town she lives on. But you know what? God led him. And he happened to remember a name of a street. He went to that street. Didn't know which door it was, but he prayed and God led him directly to that door where she lived. And then he gets out of the car, he walks up to that house, he knocks on the door, and there's no answer. There's that third opportunity. Well, Lord, I've done everything I know to do. You know, it wasn't going to be convenient. My wife couldn't go with me. That's probably not a good idea for me to visit this sister on my own. But Lord, you wouldn't leave me alone. I'm acting on the faith that your word has told me to do. So I'm knocking at the door, and she's not at home. And he turns to walk down the steps, and the Spirit kind of turns him around. How many knows what I'm talking about? This is not, he's not acting on his own. This is the Holy Spirit leading and God. And you have to know my granddaddy. I know that it was the Spirit of God directing him. Turned him around. He goes back and he knocks on the door again. And there's no answer. This time he's saying, well, Lord, I don't know what else I can do. And the Lord just kind of, you know how, knock one more time. Amen. Be persistent. Knock one more time. So he takes that key of faith. He knocks one more time. This time he hears some footsteps. This time he notices that the door handle is turning. The door is open. The door is cracked about like this. And the sister is just bawling. Tears rolling down her cheeks. She's crying. Brother Bailey, it had to be God that sent you. I heard you knock the first time. But I couldn't come to the door because I was so stressed out. Things have been going so bad. I was in the bathroom and I had the gun to my head and I was about to end it all. And I was hoping that you would leave me alone. I didn't know who it was knocking, but I hoped whoever it was would leave me alone. But you kept knocking. Not only the second time, but you knocked the third time. So then when she opened the door, my granddaddy was there, and certainly he prayed with her, got the lady in church. She was filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, doing well, thank God. Faith to just say, yeah, sister, just I hope you things are going good. I praise, but that faith required action. Amen. We could just believe that everything was all right, but we can also put motion and actions with that faith. Understand that a key to faith is faith acts upon the Word of God. Noah, being warned of God, prepared an ark. Many of us would just sit and say, well, Lord, you just take care of me. But God has given us good sense. God has given us ability. God has given us materials, amen, that we can do, amen, to follow up on the faith that God has instilled in our life. Those are three keys. The fourth key, and I love this one, faith is willing to go forward into the unknown. Now, I know the Bible says when you've done all that you can do, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. But there's also times we need to move forward. Amen. We need to move forward not only naturally, but we need to move forward spiritually too, especially when it comes to faith. Faith is moving forward into the unknown, knowing that God will sustain us, knowing that God will take care of us no matter what the situation. Again, we find an antidote. We find an answer there in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 8, which says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing where he went. Now, we read about Abraham, and we read about how blessed he was, and we read about how that God anointed him, and out of his loins became the father of a great nation, and very wealthy, and one of the great patriarchs of the Bible, and all of this is wonderful. We're reading after the fact, but imagine if you had grown up in a certain location, and your family and your friends and all of your holdings was there, and God spoke to you one day, just like I'm speaking to you, and says, Abraham, you need to leave all of this, and you need to go to a place that I will show you. What is one of the first things that we as Pentecostals want to know? Where, God, do you want me to go? You need to let me know a little bit more, and you need to give me a little bit more time so I can get my business affairs in order, and so I can take care of everything. But I need to know where I'm going. I need to know my destination. But you know, faith is understanding that we're willing to go forward, even into the unknown. It's only unknown to us. It's not unknown to God. Amen. God is not surprised where He's taking us. God knows exactly where He's taking us. And I want to talk to us spiritually about that, because many of us are very hesitant to go forward into the unknown spiritually with God. Thank God that Billy had the desire, amen, to step up and say, Brother Jim, if you're going to be out of town, can I maybe go up and start the service and do the preliminaries and maybe lead a song? Thank God, God honors that. You know, Brother Billy hadn't done that before. He went into the unknown not knowing, but he did it by faith. And amen, I thought he did a really good job. We can do that spiritually too. But going under the unknown is a little bit scary to our flesh. In fact, it's a whole lot scary to our flesh. I remember when God was leading with me to preach the Word of God, I offered every kind of excuse in the world that I possibly could. And I thought they were great excuses too. I really did. I spent a lot of time on a lot of those excuses to God, you know, why I couldn't do it, why somebody else was better to do it. Lord, I'm already doing this. I'm already doing that. You know, God doesn't care about that. Amen. God's not impressed with any of our talent. God's not impressed with anything we do, because everything that we do comes from Him anyway. Amen. He's the very reason that we're here. As we say, it's not about us. It's all about Him. So faith is the willingness to go into the unknown. As Abraham obeyed and went out for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing where he went. How many of us been there? Lord, I don't know. Where are you taking me? God, I don't know. I don't understand, but I'm going to keep going. Lord, I'm going to do what you'd have me to do. Many, many times that same story could apply to that my granddaddy used. But spiritually speaking, sometimes God is leading us and God is dealing with us to get a little deeper in with Him. And these are things that people already have faith. These are just keys that'll help that faith grow. And that faith, the more that faith grows, amen, the more dependent we are on God. Not on our own, on ourselves or on our own talents or on our ability, amen, but the power of God. So faith is willing to go forward into the unknown. Have you ever been there? Has God ever kind of put you somewhere, amen, and led you to a situation that you had no idea where you were going? But you know what? God knew exactly what He was doing, and God knows exactly what He's doing with us, amen. The fifth key tonight is faith, and this one sometimes is probably the one key that maybe we would like to take off of this little keychain. You know, these others are pretty much doable and say, Lord, yeah, I understand. I need to do this and I need to do that. But this fifth one says faith involves long-haul obedience. Do you know that we have become a society of quickness and convenience? We often talk about the drive-through line. I'm kind of old school. I remember when you could go to the bank and go inside. Didn't have to go. Now they got three or four windows and people are lined up. And I just want to give you a little secret. You can park your car and go in and get waited on a lot faster. But we don't understand, because we're a nation of convenience and we want things done now, and we can't understand why it takes so long to do something. We don't understand. You know, I've sat at a traffic light and actually timed it. And I thought, I was sure that thing lasted 10 minutes, but it didn't. Just a few minutes, 3 or 4 minutes. But, you know, we're so busy and we're so geared to wanting it now. And unfortunately, that has crept into our spiritual walk with God, because we want God to do it now. Now, God can do it now. And many times He does do it now. Can I ask you another question? How many has ever seen God instantly heal? Oh, wasn't that a blessing? Oh, we could give testimony after testimony where God has come on the scene and instantly made a way. I remember one time when I was still going to school and I was driving back from Atlanta, and on 285, and I know I've shared this story with you, but it was remarkable to me because by all means, I should have probably been upside down or spun around two or three times or even been hit by another car. But I was going down 285 at a pretty good high rate of speed, and there was the three lanes on 285, and there was a big truck on one side of me, or that side, this side of me, and a car on this side. So I was going down the middle of the lane. All of a sudden, there was a gravel that was spilled, and it was a pretty good bit of gravel that had been spilled, I guess, out of a gravel truck, and it was right there in the center lane. And I didn't see it until the car hit it. And honestly, when it hit it, it was just like it came on a sheet of ice, and I lost control of the steering wheel. It just completely went limp in my hands, and I could just see myself spinning around and around and around. I didn't have time, and I didn't have a cell phone back then to call somebody or text somebody, pray for me. I need God right now. The only thing that I could get out of my mouth was, Jesus, help me. But you know what? When I said that, that car straightened up. It didn't get out of the lane whatsoever. The other cars went on by me, and God straightened it, got through the gravel. And I know without a shadow of a doubt, amen, that God instantly took care of that situation. But now there's been other times when I prayed, God, I got to have you right now, and God didn't show up. Or at least I didn't think He did. He showed up, and He was working it out, but He wasn't working it out instantaneously. He wasn't working it out with the flip of a coin or like that. He waited, amen, until the timing was right. And then after God worked it out, I sat back and said, Lord, yeah, you know best. Thank God for working it out. Because if it had worked it out the way I wanted Him to, it wouldn't have worked out whatsoever. So faith involves long-haul obedience. Chapter number 11, verse number 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Everybody say that with me. After they were compassed about 7 days. Now, a lot of Pentecostals would have been all up for marching around that wall the first time. But a lot of us Pentecostals want that wall down then. Come on. Amen. And then we've been up to God, why didn't you tear that wall down? You told us you was going to give us the city. You even took Joshua and said, see, I have given you this city. But thank God for Joshua. Thank God for a spiritual leader. Said, you know what? It's not our time. It's God's time. We just got to be obedient. We got to keep the faith. And they kept marching. Amen. And sometimes faith is a long haul obedience. I love the way that the writer of that said it's a long haul. We're not in it just for the short term. Not in it for the drag racing. But we're in it for the duration. Amen. And if God doesn't do it this minute, that don't give up on it. Amen. I want to encourage you that have been praying for prayers to be answered. Maybe some of the prayers you've been praying a long, long time. Maybe you've been praying them for months. Don't get discouraged. Faith sometimes is a long-haul experience. But don't give up. Faith will still come on the scene. I remember the prophet as he prayed, praying for rain. It didn't happen. And finally, the servant goes up and said, well, I do see a small cloud about the size of a man's hand. And the prophet said, get down. It's going to come abundance of rain. Amen. If he had given up the first time that he prayed, probably never would have got the rain. So many times, if they had given up, not walked around the walls of Jericho on a continuous basis, chances are the walls would have still been up. How many times have we walked around the walls and said, Lord, you didn't do it. God, I prayed and you hadn't answered my prayer. Maybe sometimes because He hadn't answered it, God's got a better way of doing it. So this is a really, really mainstay of the keys to improving our faith or growing our faith if we continue to apply these things to our life. Sometimes the walls don't fall the first day. Amen. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Now, I want to go back and remind you of these things. I just want to list them again just for our benefit. Because I pray that it impacts you with the way that it impacted me. When I read this, I was really, really glued to this and began to run the scriptures. And I promise you, the 11th chapter of Hebrews is a new enlightening to me when I begin to read about these experiences, because every one of these experiences is under one of these five keys here. The first one, faith leads to understanding, not vice versa. Okay? That's very important. It's a statement, but when you think about it, it's a very profound statement. Number two, faith is not passive, but rather seeks its object diligently. When you have faith, don't let nothing detour you. Keep on believing what God said that He would do. Number three, faith acts upon the Word of God. Understand, sometimes it requires our action. Sometimes we might have to get up and be obedient unto God. to see that faith fulfilled. Number four, faith is willing to go forward even into the unknown. That's a little scary sometimes, but understand, we don't go alone. God will be with us. And finally, faith involves long-haul obedience. Sometimes the walls don't fall on the first time that we pray. Amen, but they will fall if we'll put our faith and trust in God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise God. I'd like for music to come back tonight. I know it's been brief tonight, and I know it's been different, but I could not get away from that, and maybe it was just for me, because I'm really excited, because I've been praying for things, and maybe I've been a little guilty of expecting God to move in a quicker way. But I want to understand that faith, amen, sometimes requires a long haul experience. Praise God. Let's do a little bit of He Can. How many knows He Can? If you have a burden tonight, if you have a need or situation, you may want to come to the altar even while we're singing this song. Amen. If you don't, just pray for those who might be in need. Praise God. Let's do it in Jesus. Well, who can speak to a cripple? Stand right up and walk. Who can cause the deaf to die to hear and start to talk? Who can calm a fevered brow by just saying, let it be? With a little bit of clay, touch him in a way the blinded eyes can see. I'm telling you, He can. I know that He'll stand right by your side when the world comes crumbling in. Well, there's no one ever done what He's done. He laid down His life, but He rose to live again. Now what can cause an old man that's about to say goodbye to lift to both of those dying hands, a tear running from his eyes? With his loved ones gathered all around him, he can smile and say, don't fear, cause the one that brought me through the storm are gonna lead me home from here. I'm telling you, He can. I know that He'll stand.